Ephesians chapter 4, Robert gave us a little preview of some of the context of the passage I want us to look at. It's chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. We're going to go ahead and read that. It's Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The main purpose and the desire I have for us this morning is to see this text and get this passion of desiring to see this church built up, to see it built up. If we're all going to be on the same page, working towards the same thing, building the same structure, then we need to hear what this text has to say. We need to hear it. And a question I want to pose to you is, do you want to see this church built up? Church, do you want to see this church built up? There we go. That wasn't rhetorical, and you picked up on it the second time. That's good. I desire that. I know many of you desire that. This text will equip us with the tools we need to continue the work of building up this church. So we need to give our full attention to this text this morning. That's my encouragement. Let's give our full attention to it. This text will help us be equipped to build this church up. So anytime you're building something, you need tools. One of my dad's favorite mantras growing up, I heard it over and over again. Proper tooling is everything. I heard that a lot growing up in a lot of different contexts. It didn't matter if we were working on cars. My dad was a mechanic. He likes tinkering with engines, still does to this day. And I wouldn't have known this unless I grew up with him, but there are specific tools for specific jobs. And a lot of times you can go to AutoZone and borrow that tool because it's not worth buying. You know, you only change your whatever wheel bearings once every 4 years or something like that. And it's not worth buying that and owning, so you can go borrow that from AutoZone. But proper tooling is everything. You got to have that tool to get that job done. I heard it in sports. I played baseball growing up, and proper tooling is everything. If you were a guy my size, and in high school I was even skinnier, and you were trying to swing a bat that another guy that was 6 inches taller than you and bench pressed your, double your bench press and things like that, and you were trying to use the same bat, you weren't going to hit the ball. You needed a proper tool in order to achieve your objective of hitting the ball. Same with a glove. You know, if you're playing the outfield, you wanted a big web-looking thing, 13 inches that, you know, would grab that ball if you needed to rob a home run or something like that. But if you're an infielder, you need a glove that's going to help you get that ball out quick and get the guy out, a quick transition. You needed a proper tool. I heard that a lot. Proper tooling's everything, Jack. It was church work, always doing all kinds of church work. And if you have time, you're ever in Florida and you go visit my dad's church, you'll see there's always projects going on, and proper tooling was everything. I heard it a lot growing up. And proper tooling, in some cases, it can help you complete a job you weren't able to do otherwise. And in other cases, maybe you would have been able to do it without the proper tool, but it probably would have taken you four times as long and caused you a lot of frustration. Proper tooling is necessary. And so as we come to this text, Paul is helping the church in Ephesus understand that by God's grace, through God's grace, he has supplied all the proper tools we need in order for the church to build itself up. We are properly equipped by God and through His grace, and so we need to understand that. So first, what does it mean? What does Paul mean when he says built up? What does he mean by that? Well, in the larger context of Ephesians, you can flip over to 2:19 through 22. He says this: "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." You're part of the church. "Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." So in the larger context, Paul's already employed this analogy of something being built. And what he's saying is the church, our souls are being built into this spiritual dwelling place for God in His Spirit. And so in the larger context, built up means that the work of the church would continue, that more and more people would become little pieces of brick or whatever to build this temple. The larger context has the corporate church in mind, that we're to continue to grow in numbers and in strength and in places for God to indwell and inhabit. That's the larger context. Even larger outside of the book of Ephesians, we know that this is referring to what Jesus said in the Great Commissions, that his disciples are to go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. And so this is the work of the church in the broad context, what it means to be built up. We're to continue the work of bringing others into the faith and making disciples. In the immediate context of the passage we read, the verses 11 through 16, Paul has in mind spiritual maturity. Being built up he's employing that as a metaphor for spiritual maturity. Being mature in Christ is what he has in mind. And he mentions several things. He mentions works of ministry. We're to be equipped for works of ministry. He mentions unity of the faith. And that definite article there is there for a reason. There is not just a faith or faith in general. It's the faith. It's the Christian faith. It's trusting in Christ and all the things that come along with it. And he tags knowledge of the Son of God along with that. If we're going to be spiritually mature, if we're going to be built up in our own personal lives, not just corporately, we need to have knowledge of the Son of God and together corporately unity in that faith, knowing Christ. And another word that you can tag along with that is the word doctrine. We need to be knowledgeable people of God and who He is, the doctrine of God. We need to know the faith. And another aspect of spiritual maturity Paul mentions is this, he doesn't say it in these words, but it's a stability in our faith. He says not to be children that are tossed about by waves and cunning, human cunning and deceitful schemes. And I think he has in mind there, he says human cunning, people who preach a false gospel to lure people away so that for some personal gain or something like that, preaching a prosperity gospel so that they can be prosperous, not for the best interest of the people. It's human cunning, deceitful schemes by Satan. Me and my wife were having a conversation this week about Mormonism and how they try to say very similar language. And really, if you go to their website, it's hard to see where they differ from us. But when you get down into it, it's deceitful schemes of Satan to front like they're very similar, but when you get down to it, they're not worshiping the God of the Bible. They're not a part of the faith. And in order to recognize that as a believer, we need to be mature. We need to be stable in our faith. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And finally, he mentions speaking the truth in love. This is a mark of maturity. These are things that the church needs to be doing if it's going to be built up. When he means built up, it's all what he has in mind. The corporate church, new believers coming in, and then individually, are we becoming more mature in our faith? He uses language like the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Mature manhood. You know, can that be said about us? Are we mature in that way? That's what Paul has in mind when he means built up. Both of those things, the larger context of the church and individually our maturity, our spiritual maturity before God. Now, what tools has God given to the church? What tools? We know what built up means and what we're aiming for. It's our purpose to build the church up, to give God glory and honor. What tools has he equipped us with? Again, there's some things in the immediate context. There's things in the broader context of Ephesians. We'll just go through some of those things, not in any particular order. God has equipped us, first and foremost, with his word and his spirit. These are the main things God uses for the church to be built up. His word and his spirit. You flip over to chapter 1 of Ephesians. In verse 13, we read this. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. We see this beautiful working in this verse that the gospel came to us, the word of truth, God's word came to us, the gospel of salvation. When we believed in him, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on to mention that the power we have in our lives is through the Holy Spirit. We are equipped with God's word and God's Spirit for the work of ministry. And that's the broader context of Ephesians. And you can look all over the Bible. Ultimately, the Word is Jesus Christ himself. The Word is the Bible. It's the Scriptures. Jesus' verbal teachings, his apostles listened to those, memorized those, and at some point wrote those down. That's the New Testament. The Old Testament is God's revelation that he gave to prophets to give to his people Israel. So in the broader context, his word is it's Christ. It's the gospel that we heard. It's the Bible. Those are God's word. And his spirit is what is given to those who believe. God has equipped us with those things for works of ministry for the purpose of building up the church. Now, verse 11 starts with something else that God has equipped the church body with. When Jesus defeated sin and death on the cross and he ascended into heaven, he led a host of captives, and I take that to mean that Satan and his demons, they were defeated. They were now held captive. But it says that he gave gifts to men. Jesus, having victory over all these things, being cemented in his place in heaven, he gave gifts to men. And one of the gifts he gave to the church, says, is the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherd and teachers. These are the gifts he's given to the church. And the purpose is, verse 12, to equip the saints. But one of the things God has given to the church to equip them are pastors and leaders. Now, we could spend a lot of time on apostles and prophets. I want to spend a short amount of time. He's already mentioned in one of the texts we read, Ephesians 2:20, that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. If you look in chapter 3, verse 5, it says the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So, in general, I'm just going to submit to you that the apostles and the prophets, that's how we have the church. They're the foundation, and it's how we have the Word of God. They recorded Jesus' teachings for us. That's the foundation of what we do and what we're equipped with. Ultimately, I think you can assume that into the Word. They're a part of the Word at this point through their ministries. And so the apostles and the prophets, it's how we have Scripture and the church. Evangelists, people who preach the good news. And then the shepherds and teachers, you can actually combine those. The conjunction there in the Greek language is different than the conjunctions that connect apostles and prophets to where it could be said shepherd teachers, shepherds who teach. It's one category there. Shepherds and teachers is one role. Shepherds who teach. These are what we know as pastors. And God has given pastors to the church to equip them with the Word of God by the Spirit for works of ministry. That is pastor's role among you. That's why you call pastors to minister to the church, is to help equip you for works of ministry. Now, this is different than some churches. Some churches think you hire pastors to do ministry for you or to lead ministry for you, and that certainly might be the case, but the Bible says that pastors are to equip church members so that church members can do the works of ministry for the building up of the church. That's really important for a congregation to understand. We have just as much responsibility in this before God as our pastors do. That is, I'm telling you, church, if you want to see the church built up, this church built up, you've got to own that you are to be equipped so that you can do works of ministry alongside your pastors and your leaders. So pastors are one thing that he's equipped the church with. The Bible says that he gave them to the church to equip them for works of ministry, for building up. Broader, outside the book of, or really this passage of Ephesians, we know that God has equipped each and every one of us specially and uniquely. God has given us spiritual gifts. When you come to faith in Christ, he equips you with some spiritual gift in order to edify, to build up the body of Christ. And we know that from lots of places in Scripture. And again, even more generally than that, outside spiritual things, God has made you who you are and given you natural abilities that he expects to be redeemed for the purpose of building up the church. This could be just something you're naturally good at. You were always naturally good at it growing up. You're still good at it. You know, maybe it's administration or maybe it's art or whatever it is. You can use natural abilities. Maybe you've used those natural abilities to build a business and you're a wealthy person. God expects all of us to understand that he's equipped us with those things to build the church. And so we have his word. We have his spirit. We have church leaders. We have spiritual gifts. We have natural gifts. God's equipped us with many things for the purpose of ministry, for building up the church. Now, how do we know when we're finished with building this? You know, anytime you enter into a project, you want to have an end in sight. You want to know when you're done with something. A never-ending project is, you know, a daunting task. But that's exactly what God has given us here. Well, I shouldn't say never-ending. But he's given it until a certain point. Notice verse 13. Until we're to do this, works of ministry for building up the church, until we all attain to the unity of faith. And what he goes on to say is until we all attain spiritual maturity, until all of us are fully grown Christians looking like Christ. Now, you know as well as I do that we're all a work in progress. That there are some of us who are more mature than others, but even the most mature person in this building today has a lot of room to grow into the full stature of Christ. So we're not done. And what I think Paul is telling us here, I'll translate it a little bit for you. We're to continue with this work until we die or until Jesus returns. That's it. Until you die or Jesus returns, this work is going to continue. And so we cannot slack off. We can't take a vacation. This work must be done until a certain point, and that's either until we reach full maturity, which for fallen humans is when we go to be with Christ and we will look like him and be perfect, or until he returns and in the twinkle of an eye changes us into full, mature believers. So the work must go on. We all need to continue to pursue being equipped to be mature Christians for the work of ministry. That needs to be our heart and our goal, that we're seeking growth, personal growth in our own hearts and minds, in our lives, to be like Christ. And as a church member, that might look, refreshing your commitment to your pastor's preaching or teaching and that kind of thing. It, submitting yourself anew to the things God has given you to equip you. We need to continually seek personal growth and the growth of our church. We need to speak the truth in love to those who need to hear the gospel of salvation. We need to pray that the Spirit would take our words and illuminate them in people's hearts and minds. We need to be faithful to have conversations with people outside this body of Christ, giving glory and honor to God and inviting them to be a part of what God is doing. Come join what God is doing. So, in conclusion, just to review where I think this applies, first it applies to me, but also to Robert and Blake, the pastors of this church are first, and we have to evaluate ourselves honestly before God and before our congregation to say, are we being faithful to teach God's word and the power of the Spirit to this congregation? And we need church members to help with accountability with that. We love you and want to serve you. We want to be encouraging to you in your walk and equip you. And so, first off, we have to look at our own hearts. Are we doing that? And how can we renew our commitment to equip the congregation for works of ministry? And then for the church member. Now, there's different types of church member. You might be here and you might be a mature Christian. You have known the Lord for a long time. And I know many of you. Have gotten to know many of you over the last 3 years that are this. You are mature in Christ. You are serving in works of ministry for the building up of the church. There are many of you in this congregation who do that. And so I want to encourage you to continue until don't view it as a completed structure. God has revealed it's not a completed structure until everyone's mature and the full number of believers are brought in to make this glorious temple for God, a dwelling place for God. So I want to encourage you to continue to do works of ministry in the power of the Spirit. Don't fall asleep. Don't take a vacation. Don't regress. Don't get your eyes caught on the things of this world. Continue to seek maturity in the Lord. Now, there's another group that you're here and you're immature. You're immature in the faith. And that could be for a number of reasons. One, you could be brand new to the faith. If you've recently come to know the Lord, it's an okay thing that you're immature in the faith. That's just a reality. We have some young people here, and it should be okay that they're less mature in the faith than older people are. So you might be here, you might be immature. For you, I want you to know that this is what you're called to. You are called to maturity. You are called by God to do works of ministry for the building up of the church. And so I want to encourage you to press on, to look to Christ as your goal. I want to be Christ-like. And sometimes that's a wonderful thing. People who come to the faith and they're immature, they mature rapidly because God gives them this passion for himself and for works of ministry. So I want to encourage you, if you're immature, and that's the reason why, to fully devote yourself to Christ and being equipped for works of ministry for his glory. Now, there's another group that is immature and really shouldn't be. Paul addresses this group in other places in Scripture that really, even though you should be eating meat, you're still on milk. And I think there are people like this in many congregations all over our country, people who should, in fact, be mature but are not. I think this text, you should hear this text as a rebuke, as a word that should wake you up, that proper tooling is everything, and I am not properly equipped for what God has called me to. And it might have been for many different reasons why that is. You spent many years in the church, but somehow you have managed to be ill-equipped and immature in the faith. And I want you to hear this text as a rebuke. Many a times, people in this, excuse my spit, Good thing no one's on the front row. Many times, people who are in this situation fail to hear God's word speaking to their heart. They're callous. They've heard it all before. I want you to hear and hear what you're called to. Hear this as a rebuke and a time to start afresh, to be equipped for works of ministry. We are in this together. God has called us and equipped us for works of ministry to build the church up. Proper tooling is everything. Are you equipped? Are you serving, doing works of ministry to build up this body? I would encourage you to pursue that.